Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness and your mercy and your grace. Thank you that our times are in your hands. We pray for your gracious hand upon us continually, for the ministry of the word in this room. Minister, Lord, teach us. And then for the ministry of the word going on with the children and with the teens as well. May we all learn more about who God is. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everybody should have pink sheet here. If you don't have a pink sheet, maybe you have a purple one. If you don't have one, raise your hand, and there are some other ones. Are there any? Okay, we got a few extra made. They're not the same color, but same material there. We've been looking at respectable sins. And we started our study last week on bitterness. And I want to continue with that. And you have the sheet, if you were here last week, it's already filled out. I'll go through them very quickly, but not so slowly that you can get all the words down if you didn't get them last week, but enough to just say a few words about each one. First of all, what bitterness is not. Bitterness is not anger. On your line there. Bitterness is not anger. Anger, sometimes people are angry, but they're not bitter. Jesus was angry at times at sin, and we're told, be angry and sin not. So sometimes people get confused with that, and they think because something angers them that they're automatically bitter, and then they have a cycle of feeling guilty about it, and you shouldn't. If certain things don't make you angry, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you if you can't get angry about something. So bitterness is not angry. Emotional pain is the next one. Is not bitterness. Emotional pain. You can have been sinned against in the past, and you think about that again, and it brings all the pain and everything back. Everything back brings everything back, and you think, oh no, now I got to confess to the Lord. No, not necessarily. If you make that your own and you start brooding on it, then it becomes bitterness. But when the pain is there, the pain is there. Pain is not sin. So bitterness is not emotional pain. Bitterness is not regret. Bitterness is not memory of an incident. Bitterness is not emotions due to a memory of the incident. Those are the things that we looked at last time, because emotions are going to surface when things come back to your memory. What bitterness is, and then I gave you this, bitterness is unresolved anger, unresolved sorrow, unresolved regret. It's all of these things that in themselves are not sin, but because they're not resolved, then they possess you. Bitterness is a natural response of fallen human beings to anything that displeases them. You know, Romans chapter 3, a mouth full of cursing and bitterness. I've put the references there for you, but not the verses. Bitterness is willful, deliberate refusal to resolve anger, sorrow, regret, all of those things. It's willful, deliberate refusal to resolve anger, sorrow, and regret, all those things. And then we gave some examples of causes of bitterness. And in the book of Job chapter 10, we looked at that family and financial loss. One of the things that really gets people, and understandably so, loss of loved ones or loss of finances and that kind of thing. That can cause bitterness. Doesn't have to, but it can. And then the next one we listed was betrayal. Betrayal, and from Psalm 55, where David said, you know, all these bad things happened to me, but the worst thing that happened to me was that people that were next to me, that were my own, they betrayed me. Psalm 55, verse 12, 13. And then the next cause for bitterness that we noted last time was ministry frustrations. And that's interesting. We noted Ezekiel was bitter. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 14. We noted that Jeremiah, God, he experienced it. He had a terrible time. And he said in Jeremiah 3, he hath filled me with bitterness. And so he experienced it. Even though the very same thing that can give to us, you know, all thy mercies. If it weren't for thy mercies, we would be destroyed. And he giveth me songs in the night. And all the very same source for those things is the potential for bitterness. Potential for bitterness. The next one we're going to do tonight is jealousy. Another cause for bitterness. And we won't take, you can turn in your Bible if you want to it, but I'll have it up here for you. Acts chapter 8 talks about Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given and so on, and he offered money and give me this power. And he's thoroughly rebuked. And, you know, your heart's not right with God. I perceive that you're in the gall of bitterness. And so sometimes jealousy causes bitterness. Sometimes it's jealousy of ministry. I've tried, and I didn't do as good as the fellow across the street. He's got a bigger church than I do, or his offerings are bigger, or his people are more spiritual. At least it looks like that to me. And on and on and on and on. Or I wish I had this gift, or I wish I had that gift. And because I don't, what does bitterness do? It keeps you from serving. God, all he wants us to do is to be what we are, not what somebody else is. Use the gifts we have, not anybody else's. Just use what we have. So sometimes jealousy is the cause of bitterness. The next one, I want you to look up, if you would, please. It's Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. You'll remember the book of Hebrews is written to a group of folks, probably most of them Christians. They were suffering for their faith. They'd stepped out believing that Jesus is Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, Messiah, and they were suffering for their belief and their stand for that, and it was terrible. It was very hard on them. They were social outcasts. They paid the price for identifying with Jesus. And it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, you know the portion, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Consider him. Look at what he endured. That's the message. And then in verse 4, he goes on to say, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You haven't had it as bad as some of the other folks have. And you read Hebrews 11, those witnesses there, wow, they went through some really bad stuff. And he ends up in verse 12, he says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Here's a group of people that are really suffering for the Lord, and he's getting after them for bitterness. I suppose it's because the people were persecuting them so badly, it was easy for them to become bitter against the persecutor, and that's easy to do. Somebody is unjustly accusing you or hurting you in some way. It's easy to get bitter. The word that I've used here for this one, as for cause of bitterness, is chastisement. Chastisement. He talks about that. What son is he whom the father chastiseth not, verse 7 of the text. So the context is chastisement. And chastisement is not always being spanked. Some of it's just being disciplined and it's being trained in the Christian life. And sometimes training is not pleasant, but the result of the training is pleasant. Think of all the folks that worked so hard for the Olympics, you know, and just made themselves, disciplined themselves, stayed away from friends, stayed away from coffee and donuts and whatever else so they could do the... It wasn't pleasant, but if they got the gold or the silver or the bronze or whatever, it was worth it. It was worth it to them, and that's what he's saying here, but we must be careful that we don't get bitter. Sometimes God is working on us about some area of our lives. Maybe we're being unjustly accused or unjustly persecuted in some way. Well, it's easy to get bitter. And that bitterness is the result of our wrong response to God training us, God making us, molding us for himself. Now let's talk about some results of bitterness. Results of bitterness. The first one, I'll go ahead and give it to you so you can jot it down there. We'll talk about it. Isolation and depression. Isolation and depression. Now, I understand that that's not the real reason for this particular text being in the Bible, but we're just drawing attention to this, the prodigal and the prodigal son, and the prodigal comes home, and the elder son is in the field, remember, and he comes near to the house and he hears all the music and dancing and he calls one of the servants, hey, what's going on? What's the party about? Oh, your brother's come and your father's killed the fatted calf because, you know, he hath received him safe and sound. And what did this brother who stayed home, what was his attitude? It wasn't praise the Lord. He was angry. And he let his anger get a hold of him and he became bitter. And his father comes out to him and says, come on into the party. Look, this is a happy time. No, it isn't. And what was the result of this? He, verse 31, the father says to him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. When you are bitter, you cannot enjoy the blessings that you do have, because you're concerned or upset or wrapped around the axle of something you don't have or about something that didn't happen. And this guy isolates himself. He's depressed. He's having a pity party. The whole thing because of bitterness. Because of bitterness. He had an attitude toward his brother. And then he had an attitude toward his daddy. And on we go with that. So he couldn't even enjoy the blessings that he did have because he was so taken up with what he didn't think was right. Another thing that a result of bitterness is this, and it's pretty obvious. I've given you the text. Here's the words themselves. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Bitterness gives Satan a foothold in your life. It gives Satan a foothold in your life. Because you've got something in your craw. You've got a rock in your shoe, and it is spoiling you. It is spoiling you. It's kind of like you've eaten a lot of garlic, and even though you brushed your teeth, it's coming out your pores. And when people get around you, they can just, there's something about you that just isn't right. What is it? It's a bitter spirit. It's anger that's held in. It's something that gives Satan a foothold, and it hurts you and it hurts other people, and that's the next thing on the line as far as looking diligently lest any man fail the grace of God. Any brood of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness defiles. That's the next one on your list. It causes the results of bitterness is defilement. Defilement. Yes, being defiled. Being hurt, and the illustration, the next verses talk about Esau. People who are bitter, they make really bad choices. Esau, man, whatever, I'll just go out, I'll just marry whoever, I'm going to cut my nose off to spite my face. Bitterness causes you to do really stupid things. Many a man, I'm sure, has gone out on his wife and he's been propelled to do so because of his bitterness. Husbands, be not bitter against your wives. You know, things aren't going well at home and there's a problem and you haven't really resolved it and it's getting a hold of you rather than you giving it to God. And pretty soon you're out there and there's this woman, blonde, built and beautiful and all the rest of it. And you would be tempted, but more than that now, you look at her and then you look at home and she was an old bag anyway and you're all bitter against her and you run and you do what Esau did. You do what feels good right now and you pay the price. Bitterness defiles. Bitterness defiles. Now, what is the cure for bitterness? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from among you with all malice, and be ye kind-hearted, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. The cure for bitterness is forgiveness. The cure for bitterness is forgiveness. Either you're going to forgive or you're going to be bitter. You got a choice. Only two choices. Well, I'm going to be in between. No, you can't be in between. You're going to either be bitter or you're going to be forgiving. Either, and what do you do when you forgive somebody? You give to them something they may not even deserve. That's what God does when he gives us forgiveness, isn't it? Right? Well, they don't deserve it. No, they may not. That's not the point. The point is, you're going to either be bitter or you're going to be forgiving, and you have a choice to make. Another reason, though, or another cure for bitterness, and this has to do with now us as individuals, we need to forgive one another, not let something grow in us and fester and cause a huge problem that God has to in turn lance and open up and all that. Another, I want you to turn, if you would please, to Psalm 31 now. This is the one I want you to look at. Psalm 31. Psalm 31, this has to do with our relationship with the Lord. Because sometimes things happen to us and they're not always done by people. Often they are, but not always. And this Psalm 31, verse 5, have mercy upon me, O Lord. I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief. My soul, my belly, my life, my years, my strength, my bones are consumed. Does this guy have a problem? Yeah, he does. At verse 10, verses 9 and 10. Then he goes on, verse 11, I was a reproach among mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me outside fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take my life away. But I trusted in thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my God, my times are in thy hand. My times are in thy hand. Sometimes and I guess always, in a sense, bitterness is toward the Lord. Even though it might be directed towards somebody else, God allowed them in your life. It didn't take God by surprise when they did whatever they did. And if you can't get over what they did for you, really what you're saying is that those people that God allowed, and you're bringing God into it. That's what you're bringing God into it. Read an interesting thing here that I thought was really good. Here's a guy named Samuel Bringle. He was a worker for Salvation Army in Boston. He was passing by a saloon and some men threw a brick and hit him in the head. And he nearly died. He spent 18 months in recovery. And during that time, he wrote a book called Helps to Holiness. Thousands of copies were published of that. And after he was able to preach again, people would often thank him for the book, and he would respond this way. He would say, if there had been no little brick, there had been no little book. His wife saved the brick and wrote on it Genesis 50:20. God meant it for good. She saved the brick. He goes on to say, godly Christians have the same problems, heartaches, tragedies as everyone else. They are not somehow exempt from suffering, but they view their difficult circumstances through the lens of an understanding of God's love and purpose for their lives. And then here comes this thing where all of my bitternesses toward anybody really are also bitternesses against God. Here's what he said. The only thing an enemy can do to you is to be the unwitting instrument of God's plan for your life. The only thing an enemy can do for you or against you is to be the unwitting instrument of God's plan for your life. Basically, what he's saying there is God allowed that circumstance. But I don't use the word forgiveness here. We forgive people. We don't forgive God. I know some people talk about that, and I think it's very bad to talk about that because it implies that God did something wrong. We should never talk about forgiving God. I don't think we should talk about forgiving ourselves either. That's another subject. But it implies wrongdoing. No, we don't forgive God. But the word that I have there for you is submission. 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 We submit to God's sovereignty. The cure for bitterness is to submit to God's sovereignty. Ecclesiastes, I think I have it here so I can show it to you so you don't have to. Yeah, it's over here someplace. Ecclesiastes 7, 13 and 14 say this. Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider, God also hath set one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. Now, a little bit hard to understand. Hope you're not offended. But there's another translation that don't get bent out of shape. I don't use this normally, but it's a good commentary sometimes. The New Living. Here's what it says. Accept the way God does things. For who can straighten what he has made crooked? Enjoy prosperity while you can, but when hard times come, realize that both come from God. Remembering that nothing is certain in this life. Ooh, that's a good commentary, at least. I don't trust paraphrases, but sometimes they provide a good commentary. And I think that's a pretty decent commentary on that. The fact of the matter is, you and I will at times find fault with what God has done. We don't like it. Nobody is sitting here who has not had times in your life where things have happened that you did not like them and you were tempted to be bitter against God or angry against God. That happens to everyone. How do we handle those things? I mentioned as a prayer request on Sunday evening, my sister's daughter. My sister's name is Tina. She's a sweet Christian lady, lives in California. Her daughter, Martha, who's about 35 years old, tried to commit suicide Sunday morning by hanging herself. Her boyfriend came and found her shortly after. He took her down very quickly and did CPR, and they medevaced her off in a helicopter and all that kind of thing. My sister is, of course, greatly, greatly concerned about her baby, Martha. And she writes on August 13, "Thank you so much for your prayers. At first, I kept imagining Martha on the hospital bed full of tubes. And now I keep imagining her there surrounded by angels. If it weren't for the Lord, I know we couldn't survive this." And then listen to what she says. "We have a great, wonderful, compassionate God, and we believe in his sovereignty. We want his name to be glorified in all of this. I was reminded that God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble." Psalm 46. What is she doing there? Even though every emotion in her being is saying, "This is bad, this is wrong, I don't like it, I hate it," she is submitting to the sovereignty of God. Now, people that go through these things who are walking with God get grace that we don't know anything about. They get grace. God gives them the grace that they need. When we look on these situations, we wonder, how could they, oh, I don't think I could. No, you couldn't right now because you don't need that grace. If you ever get into that position, you will find grace sufficient to meet your need. At this point, she is finding God's grace sufficient to meet her need. Here's her daughter, and her daughter has rejected the faith of God, rejected the way she was raised. And now she's, you know, and just in a fit of despair or whatever has done this horrible thing. And she's saying, we have a wonderful, compassionate, great God, and we believe in His sovereignty. That's submission. Submission with tears. Hope we never have to face anything like that, but we may. We all have things that at times just come on us like this. And maybe it's a little bit easier if it's somebody who's done something to us, like the enemies of Job that came in and robbed him and all that. All those bad people. But what about when it's a whirlwind? What about when it's Mother Nature, quote unquote? What about when it's not, it didn't involve somebody's, some human being's will against us, but it involved something that, well, God could have stopped that. Well, He could have, but He didn't. And then we go through this whole, we churn through this, you know, does the sovereignty of God mean that He ordained my niece, Martha, to try to hang herself? Or did He allow it? And we get wrapped around that whole thing. And it comes to the place where we have to submit, regardless of what our conviction is or how we come down on those issues. We end up having to submit to the sovereignty of God. And if we don't, we will be bitter. And so when it comes to human beings, we need to forgive or we'll become bitter. When it comes to the sovereignty of God, we need to submit or we will become bitter. One other, by the way, I've got some Tuesday news out of that thing. I haven't heard anything today, so I don't know how it's turned out yet, but what they did to her was they lowered her body temperature way, way down to cause a lot of oxygen to go to the brain, however that works. And they warmed her up yesterday again. And here's the note. We have some encouraging news. Martha is fully awake. Clinically, looks good. I guess that means on the machines. Is that correct, doctor? She was taken off the paralytic and is not sedated anymore. She is following commands, tried to pull out tubes, so had to have her arms tied down. She was scared and upset, had to be given something to calm her down, cannot talk because she has tubes in her mouth. She is moving and seems strong. They will do a formal MRI later, as well as a neurological testing to assess if any damage has been done to her brain. Keep praying. She's not out of the woods. But we are thanking the Lord and learning to trust Him more, remembering that He loves Martha more than we do. Isn't that a submission to the sovereignty of God? Wow. One more item on your sheet, and I'll give it to you right now. And the words there are self-control. Self-control. The verses that I've put there are 2 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 5, and I'll just give you verse 5. It speaks of casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God holds us responsible to capture our rebellious thoughts and to teach those thoughts to obey Christ. It's not going to happen by accident. We are responsible. And though, as one person said, 10,000 horses run wild in the canyons of my mind, God says, I am to bridle those horses. I am to have self-control. I know we all talk about, you know, let God, let go and let God. God, that, I don't know what that means. But I do know this, God holds us responsible to obey Him. Even when it goes against every grain of our flesh and every grain of our humanity, every nuance of our emotion, God calls us to self-control. And by that I mean, okay, Lord, as an act of my will, I am submitting to your sovereignty. I don't understand this and I don't like this, but I submit to your sovereignty. If we don't do that, we will be bitter people. And there's only one answer for that, and that is confession and brokenness. I remember times in my life where I'd been facing things and they just were eating me alive. I remember one time in, I guess it was back in the late 60s, early 70s, I was really struggling with something, and the church where I was serving at the time, we had indoor bathrooms, but there was also an outhouse. And it wasn't used much, but it was a good place to go and pray when you really wanted to weep before God. And I remember going to that outhouse and getting broken before God. You know, listen, there is no cure for bitterness except to let God break your heart. There's nothing else. And none of us wants to go there because we don't like it. But that's where the beauty of holiness comes from. And that's where a shining testimony comes from. That's when a lily grows in a manure pile. Something beauty out of ashes. That's where it happens. And the opposite to all of that is bitterness. May the Lord deliver us from being bitter. May we be responsible to Him. All right. That's all we will do. Let's draw attention to some prayer requests. I have some that are not in the bulletin. I get them by email. Some of you heard, some of you know Family Research Council. Mr. Perkins is the guy that runs that. A security guard was wounded at the Family Research Council headquarters today. Somebody came in, you know, they were against what Family Research Council stands for, you know, their policies, one woman, one man, all the things that you and I believe Family Research Council is for. This guy comes in and starts saying that's not good, and he shoots a guard there. I understand the guard is going to be okay. But let's pray for those folks. Also, another request, we've brought up his name before, Pastor Yosef. He is in prison in Iran. After months without any motion at all on his case, he has been called to appear in court on September 8th. He is still under the death sentence for apostasy, and that could be implemented at any time. Please pray for this man, his wife and children, and for his church in his absence. He has been imprisoned for almost 3 years, accused of leaving the Islamic faith. So pray for Pastor Yosef. Also, the requests are here. Nate is on the road. I got an email from him. He said, I'm just at the entrance to the Teton Mountains. I wrote him back, said, I'm jealous. Jealousy's bad, isn't it? That leads to bitterness. You better be careful about that. So, yeah, so he's getting close. He said he was about 8 or 10 or so hours from home. So that's great. He said that truck, well, maybe I shouldn't say it. The truck likes 70 miles an hour. Did he tell you that? Okay.
Whew. Pastor.
Yes.
I've been out there.
The speed limit's about 80. I know it is, and it's really fun. It's great. But when you have a big U-Haul and you're towing another vehicle behind it, yes, I got a ticket out there. You know, you're going 80 miles an hour, you know, and it's great. And then you turn off and you head north, and the speed limit is 55. And it's hard to go 55. Please, it's hard to go 55. Tell the sheriff. And I got a ticket for going 7 miles over the speed limit. Yeah, I'm still working through that. It was, my mother was in the car, my daughter was in the car, my wife was in the car, and it was Christmas Eve. And I got a ticket. I'm still working through that one. All right. Gotta watch out that. Nailed me on that one, didn't you? Okay. Any other requests that you have before we divide up to pray? Yes, ma'am. Okay, Tuesday, when's he going to have it? Tuesday, an MRI for Tyler, his shoulder. Yes, Phil.
My wife's doing real well with the knee surgery, thanks, Toby. She was in on the surgery. She had a surgery.
You watched him poke holes in her?
Yeah.
Was it cool? Pretty cool. Okay, we'll pray concerning her heart. Her knee's doing well. Now got to get the heart working right. All right, good. Any others? Yes, ma'am. She's going to Hamburg, Germany tomorrow for a reunion with her biological. Have you ever met him? You have, okay. Are they believers? Don't know. Okay, well, we'll pray. You know, she was adopted in Jerusalem, was it? So when did you meet your biological family then?
They found me about, well,
they
just graduated from high school.
Okay, after high school. All right. Sure. Be interesting. May the Lord give you a good ministry with the family. Yes. How long will you be there?
10 days.
Watch out when you go to McDonald's. They serve beer at McDonald's over there in Germany. Gonna be smelling your breath when you get back. You know what I'm saying?
I don't like McDonald's.
Oh, okay. You didn't say you didn't like beer. You just said you didn't like McDonald's. All right, we better move on, I think. All right. All right, pray for Joseph Borkholder, still in the hospital, had a portion of his toe removed yesterday, diabetes, still having problems with his leg. Seemed to be doing a little better. I was in there this morning to see him, and he's just getting old. So pray for God's grace. How old is he? He's in his 80s, I believe. For some people, that's not old. I know it isn't. Some people. No. Any others? We'll divide up for prayer. Let's sing. You can pray with whomever you choose, or you can slip out either one. That's fine. Let's sing. God answers prayer in the morning.